Good morning, everyone. May all the kids come down and sit in the front row for today. Before we get started with the message and continue with this series, I gotta go over the boring rules. Kids, do you remember what the rules are? Oh. Riley.
Be respectful.
Correct. Do you know what that means, to be respectful? Okay, then what does it mean?
When somebody's
talking, you keep
your eyes on them and be silent.
Good. Be quiet when someone is talking and keep our eyes on whoever is talking. And if I notice things are getting out of hand, I might do this. Yes. And adults, if you hear a double clap, you can join too, because God is good.
All right. Thanks, Dylan. Hey, thank you. But why do you look so bummed out? What's wrong?
Well, I wanted to participate more today.
You did? You wanted to participate more? Like, I mean, I already gave you the rules and stuff. Like, what else did you want to do?
Well, in the past, Dylan Green got to do the science experiment and talk about what we were doing today. But now, Riley's doing the experiment.
Well, Riley seems pretty excited about that, but, I mean, you get to do stuff all the time. Why? You shouldn't be so bummed out.
Well, I don't get to do the experiment. I just wish I got to do the cool part.
Well, that actually reminds me about some of the characters that we're going to be talking about as we continue our series, Anyone Can Cook. So I brought my Anyone Can Cook book. But you know what? This is not the Anyone Can Cook book? What? Are you sure? It looks... The cover says Anyone Can Cook. Don't you think it's an Anyone Can Cook book?
No.
No, what is it?
I don't know.
It's the Bible.
Oh, maybe it's just a cover for my Bible. So we are continuing our series on Anyone Can Cook. And our series looks at different characters in the Bible that the world says are probably not good enough, but God says he has a special plan for them. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Last month, Auntie Steph came up, and she shared a story about Hannah, Eli, and Samuel, and how they were important, and how they worked together to do something great and introduce David the king. And so today we remember about David the king because of what Hannah, Eli, and Samuel did. She talked about when people do great things, we also need to recognize that there's other people involved in them too. So this morning we're going to be looking at a story in the life of Joseph. Do you guys know who Joseph is? Have you heard of Joseph before? Oh, someone in the back? Oh, that's Riley. Okay, yes, Riley, I know you know who Joseph is. We're going to be talking about Joseph. So if you don't know, you guys are in for a treat because we're going to be talking about Joseph. But before we get into Joseph, let's start off with our theme verse. So for this series, we have a theme verse, and that comes from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And it says this, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" So when we hear this verse, or when we look at this verse, we probably are thinking, well, what kind of heart pleases God? What kind of heart pleases God? Verses that help us to understand what kind of heart pleases God are found in like Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus is talking, he says things like, Jesus says to love our enemies or pray for those who persecute you. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
It might sound right, but really. That seems pretty difficult to do. To love our enemies or to pray for those that persecute you, that seems hard. That seems hard to do. But that's what God talks about. That's what Jesus talks about. That's the type of heart that pleases him. So we're going to look at the life of Joseph because I believe that Joseph shows us how to have a soft heart and how to have a heart that pleases God. So we live in a world today where people's worth and value are determined by what they look like or how well they perform. But God isn't like that. He looks at our heart. God created us to have soft hearts, ones that do not allow the difficulties of the world to harden them. This is something that allowed Joseph to do great things. And so we're going to be talking about that today. His heart remained soft toward God and towards people, and God was able to use him to save himself. Actually, he saved the whole world, and we'll see how that looks. Okay. So the question is, who was Joseph? Joseph was the 11th son of 12, born to Jacob. He wasn't the oldest. Actually, he was closer to being the youngest one than he was to being the oldest one. We start hearing the story about Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. So as we talk about this story at the beginning, I want you guys to think of yourself and imagine that you are one of Joseph's older brothers. There's 11 of them. Actually, there's 10 older ones, but he was the 11th one. So pretend that you are one of the older brothers. So the first thing that the Bible tells us in this chapter is that Joseph and his brothers were tending their flock. They were all shepherds, and guess what Joseph does? They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. So he tells on them. He gives a bad report about them. So Joseph starts off his story as a tattletale. How do you think that made the older brothers feel?
Angry and hated him.
Yeah.
Okay. Dylan has a little bit more parts to play in this, but he's not participating. I thought you said you wanted to participate more.
Well, I don't have my lines over here, Dad.
All right. Well, Dylan is the older brother in his family, so a lot of times when his younger sisters, especially the one that's sitting over here.
Yeah, you, Riley.
Might give a bad report on him. He doesn't like it, right? He hates it when she tells on him, right? Even if he's not even doing something bad, sometimes she's like, Dylan did this, right? Personally, I know how that feels. My siblings used to do that to me too. I'm not going to point them out, but they used to do that to me too, and I didn't like that either. So anyway, if we're thinking about being one of Joseph's older brothers, that's how the story starts. The youngest one, he's pointing out, you guys didn't do what you were supposed to be doing. So how do you think that made them feel? They started out pretty upset with him. So if we keep going on this story, Genesis chapter 37, verse 4 says, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. So you know what happened? Joseph also got something special. His dad gave him a special coat, and it kind of looks like this picture. He was the only one that got it. And back then, if you had a coat that had a lot of different colors, it was probably pretty expensive because different colors was expensive to make. But Jacob, his father, showed special favor to Joseph. So it would be like, how many of you guys like candy? Like, I have a lot of candy in this bag. What if I said, I'm going to give this candy to some of the people that are sitting in the front? Would you guys be excited? Okay, what if I just said, I'm going to give this bag of candy to Ezra. Come on up here, Ezra. All right. There you go. Have your candy. Okay. How do you guys feel? How do you guys feel right now? Okay. Riley's kind of mad because those originally started out as her lollipops, and now they're getting hit. Okay, but kind of that feeling that you guys have right now, that's probably how Joseph's brothers felt. Joseph got special treatment, and they were upset. But I know that Ezra has a good heart, so I'm pretty sure that Ezra is going to share with you guys, okay? That's one of the reasons that I chose him. And that's something that Joseph's brothers didn't understand. That God looked at Joseph's heart, and so that's why God chose him. That's why he got special favor, because God knew his heart, and that Joseph would use his soft heart to save everybody. Because if one of the other brothers had gotten the special blessings, they probably wouldn't have used it the same way. Okay? So that's one of the reasons why I chose Ezra, because I know Ezra has a good heart, and he's going to share that with you guys. So you guys a little bit later can ask him, and he'll probably share with you. Okay. So we're in this point. Joseph's brothers are pretty upset with him, right? He's getting special treatment. He was being a tattletale. And then what happens? What happens?
Oh.
Okay. We'll see. That's what we're gonna get to. Okay. So Joseph's brothers were pretty upset with him. Sometimes when we look at things, they're not actually really what's going on. Okay? We see what we see, but that's not really what's going on. Last week, Pastor Ross gave a great message about this. He talked about shifting the way that we see difficult events in our lives and not looking at them as difficulties, but looking at them as opportunities. Opportunities for God to do something great. And I think that as we continue to look at Joseph's life, that we're going to see that Joseph was good at that also. Okay? So, let's continue with the story. Genesis 37, 5 through 8. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf stood up, while all of your sheaves bowed down to mine." So his brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. So Joseph, he heard from God. He had this dream. In the dream, he saw a picture that was interpreted by his brothers that they were going to bow down to him and he was going to rule over them. His brothers already didn't like him, and now it seemed like he was trying to rub it in their face. I mean, I think I would probably feel the same way. But this is how they interpreted it. But God knew why he was giving him this dream, and we'll find out later. So after this happened, they're already mad at him. They're even more mad at him after he told them the dream. So what do you think happened next? If you guessed... Oh, Jackson, what do you think happened? Oh, that's right. You did. I was just about to say, if you guessed that Joseph would have another dream, and Jackson said he had another dream. So this time, in his second dream, the sun, the moon, and the stars, which represented his brothers and his parents, bowed down to him too. So this made them so mad. They were ready to kill him. They were ready to kill. How mad do you have to be ready to kill somebody?
Hate.
Yeah, that's a lot of hate. That's a How mad, SJ?
Really mad.
Really mad. That's right. You're really mad. Okay? So let's keep going with the story. Because at this point, Joseph's brothers are really mad at him. They want him to die. Right? They want to kill him because they don't understand. Why is he getting special treatment? He's the youngest. Why does he get special treatment? We shouldn't be bowing down to him. He should be bowing down to us. That's how they feel. So if we keep going. Chapter 37, verse 26 to 28. So Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." So his brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. Okay. So they didn't decide to kill him. They said, "Oh, he's our brother. We don't want to kill him. That would be really bad. He's our brother. We shouldn't kill him." So what did they do instead? They sold him into slavery. Doesn't that seem pretty bad?
Yeah.
That seems pretty bad, right? They sold him into slavery. So, that term sold, that's actually a term that I've been hearing a lot in my house recently. How many of you guys know what the term sold means? All right, I see some of the kids. Like, this is a Gen Alpha term, so I'm giving you guys some Gen Alpha lingo understanding. Okay, so the term sold represents when you don't do a good job on something. So if you played bad in a game or like you miss like three wide open layups or something, then you sold, right? If you get a bad grade on a test, then you sold, right? So usually it means you did something bad. Well, you know what? Joseph didn't really do anything bad. He didn't really do anything wrong. He told the truth about what his brothers did, right? They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. All he did was tell the truth, right? When God gave him the dreams, all he did was tell him what the dreams were. But hurt and hate hardened the hearts of his brothers. So each thing that he did just made them more and more angry. So what did they do? They sold him to be a slave. So while he was a slave, God recognized him still. God helped him to do well for his master. So Joseph was put in charge of the whole household, right? So Joseph could have gotten bitter. I'm sold. I'm a slave. But that's not how he approached it. He still stayed close to God. He still had a soft heart. He still did well. So God blessed him and blessed his master's household because of what Joseph did. So then guess what happens? You think everything's all good, right? The story's good. Joseph's doing well. The master's doing well. Even though he was a slave, he still stayed close to God, and now he's doing good. So what happens? The master's wife tried to get Joseph to do something that he knew was wrong. And when Joseph would not do it, so Joseph was being good. He said, that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. She accused him of doing it anyways. So as much good as Joseph did, we get to this next verse. Genesis 39:20. It says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph did the right thing, right? He said, no, that's bad. I'm not going to do that. And what does that get him? SJ.
He doesn't want to do it.
That's right. So he gets thrown in prison. He did the right thing, and he gets thrown in prison. What kind of reward is that? Do the right thing, get thrown. Doesn't feel like it fits, right? I know if it was me, I'm giving you guys some insight into what would be going on in my head at this time, right? If it was me and this happened, I did the right thing, now I'm in jail. I'd probably be thinking, God, that's messed up. God, that's messed up. I did the right thing, and now I'm in jail. What's going on? But that's not how Joseph looked at it. His heart stayed soft, where my heart would be hard. So I want to give you guys a little bit of a picture of what this has looked like in my life. Okay? So some of you have heard the story about my great-grandma and how important she is to me and in my faith journey. Okay? But one thing I don't think you guys... Okay, not my great-grandma. My grandma, sorry. The kid's great-grandma. We call her great-grandma because the kids call her great-grandma. Okay. Sorry. Thank you, Leanna, for the clarification. Okay. Okay. So, my grandma and my mom are both born on the same day. Pretty cool, right? So my grandma would always tell me, my best birthday present was my oldest daughter was born on my birthday. Right? So that was a good birthday present for her, right? So when we found out that we were pregnant with Karis, her due date was like November 2nd, I think. And my mom and my grandma's birthday is October 25th. So I was like, oh, okay. November 2nd, that's pretty close. And Dylan was like a week early. So if this new one comes a week early, probably going to be about October 25th. Wouldn't that be so like God? Like, numbers are important to God. It's cool. So he's going to, one generation, October 25th. Next generation, October 25th. Okay, I'm not the oldest daughter, so skip my generation. The next one, October 25th. That would be so cool, right? So guess what happens? Karis is born on October 24th.
Karis, you sold!
And it's part of her personality. She just can't wait to do things. So she was so excited to meet everybody, she couldn't wait another 7 hours to be born on October 25th. So for me, I was like, God, you lined it up so perfectly. They were all going to be born on the same day. It would be so cool. Just the legacy that's being passed down from my grandma to my mom, and now to my, that would be so cool. three generations of our family born on the same day, this legacy of being passed down. I was like, this is going to be so cool. That's messed up that she couldn't wait. What's going on with that? So I was getting a little frustrated, and my heart was getting a little hard. So I was sitting there, and I was kind of grumpy. I was a little not happy. Yes, Riley, I was bummed out. And then I felt like the Lord told me, you thought that the legacy was going to be passed down because of a number. Ooh, a number. Watch what I do. Watch what I do. So I was like, okay, God, I'll watch what you do. Right? So the story's not over. Cool thing that happened a few weeks ago is that the kids were doing kids' church in the back while a lot of the adults were in the different kingdom classes. And so I heard this story from Auntie Steph, where she had this game that people were playing where they had to roll a can across different lines. And depending on what line they crossed, they had to give a word for someone else in the group. Okay? And so each line had a different category. So one was like
an animal
or like a movie character or something. So I think it was Karis's turn, and she rolled, and hers came up movie character. Okay? Movie character. So, I mean, that seems pretty cool. So some people just give different movie characters, and it was fun. But one of our kids, Carissa, she gave a word for Karis, and that was Mulan. And Karis, they were like, Mulan, that's a cool one. What about Mulan? And the words that she said were, you're going to be like Mulan, carrying the legacy of your father to the world. And so that word legacy came up again. And I was like, and so when Steph told me that, I was like, whoa, like God was just reaffirming me that his plan is totally different than my plan. I thought it was going to be cool because they're all born on the same day. But that's not God's plan. God's plan was different. But he wanted my heart to stay soft. So that's why he reminded me during that time when I was grumpy that he had a different plan. Okay, and now he's reminding me again. Through one of our kids because of a word that she gave. Awesome. I felt so blessed. Okay? But God wants us to stay soft. He wants our hearts to stay soft, not to be hard like the older brothers. So, let's get back to our story. Okay? So Joseph is now in prison. So you would think that by now he'd probably be bitter and angry. He could easily have said, like I just said, God, I told the truth. I heard your voice. I shared what you told me. I did right when I could have been doing wrong. But now I'm in prison. He could have hardened his heart toward God, but his heart remained soft. Okay. So then in prison, he shares with a couple of other people interpretations for their dreams that came to be true. Okay. And he told one of them, hey, just remember me. When you go back to Pharaoh, remember me. But that guy forgot. He forgot about Joseph. So what did that end up happening? Joseph stayed in jail for 2 more years after that. He thought by remembering him, he might have been able to get out. But now Joseph was in jail for 2 extra years. Think about that. You're in jail for 2 years for doing something that you did, for getting accused of doing something that you didn't even do. You actually did the opposite. You did something right. And now you're in prison for a long time. So then Pharaoh has a dream. Pharaoh has a dream. And he asks around, can anybody in the whole land interpret it? Nobody can do it. Nobody can help the Pharaoh. But that's when one of the people that Joseph interpreted his dream earlier remembered him. Oh, I know, there's a guy that's in prison. He interpreted my dream and it came true. You should go talk to him. So Pharaoh says, okay, let's bring that guy out. So he brings out Joseph, brings him up and says, hey, I had this dream. Can you interpret it for me? And that's where we pick up our story. Genesis 41, 16. This is Joseph's response. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer that he desires. So we'll skip ahead. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. Okay. So Joseph interprets this dream, tells Pharaoh what God told him, and what do you think Pharaoh does? Okay, actually, this time he gets rewarded, right? This time he actually gets rewarded. Skipping ahead to verse 41, it says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt, right? So during this time, he's put in charge of the whole land of Egypt. So there's a time of abundance or plenty, and what does he do? He stores up all the plenty, because then the famine came. The famine came. So when the famine came, what happens? When the famine comes, everybody's hungry. The whole world is hungry, and the Bible says that everybody would come to Egypt to get the food that Joseph had told them to store up. Guess who's a part of everyone? Okay, Riley.
Joseph's brothers!
Joseph's brothers! Right? So they got hungry, and they needed food. So what do? They go to Egypt. So if you were Joseph and you remember and you think about, all right, these are the guys that sold me into slavery. They wanted to kill me. They sold me into slavery. How would you respond? Well, the way that our world would respond is a lot of people would have a hard heart. These guys, I didn't do anything wrong. God wanted to bless me, and they got mad at me for that. So guess what? You get no food. You get no food, right? That's how the story's supposed to end. They messed up. They had a hard heart. They get no food. That's how the story ends, right? No, that's not how the story ends, because Joseph's heart stayed soft. Joseph's heart stayed soft. God was in the picture the whole time. He stayed close to God the whole time. In each step of his journey, God was close. He didn't let his heart get hard to God. And because his heart never got hard to God, his heart stayed soft towards other people, even the ones that sold him into slavery. So we jump ahead. Genesis 45, 4 to 8. This is Joseph's response when his brothers come to him. Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one that you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of the entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." So because Joseph's heart stayed soft, he's able to receive his brothers and look at the problems of his life, not as problems, but as opportunities. Just like Pastor Ross talked about last week. This was an opportunity for him to save the whole world, because everybody in the world was experiencing a famine, and they came to him for food, including his brothers. Including his brothers. But how did he do it? He kept God close the whole time. His heart stayed soft to God, and that allowed his heart to stay soft to his brothers. And guess what? Those dreams that happened at the beginning, the sheaves bowing down, the sun and the moon bowing down, they had to do that. They ended up doing that because he was the ruler of all of Egypt, and they came to him for food. They had to humble themselves and say, "We can't do this on our own. We need something from you." And because God blessed him, he was able to provide for everybody. Okay, so we kind of heard earlier that Riley has a special experiment for us. So I'm going to call up Riley right now. She has an experiment that's going to help us to understand a little bit about Joseph's life and how God is going to help us to have soft hearts towards each other. So I'll help Riley. Come on up. Yep, we will get that too. Excuse me. All right, let's give Riley a hand.
Sparkles.
All right, thanks, Riley.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, so if you didn't get that... Okay, so if you didn't get that, Riley poured some glue into the bowl, right? And so normally when you leave glue out, right, what happens? It gets hard and dries up, right? That's kind of like living out in our world today. A lot of times, just the way that the world is, it's easy for us to get hard hearts, right? And then when things that are difficult situations or bad things happen to us, it just accelerates it, makes it hard faster, right? But at the end, what she wanted to do is she wanted to put in some blessings, right? The sparkles and the food coloring. But if it was hard, the glue wouldn't be able to receive it. It would just bounce off, right? So sometimes when our hearts are hard, it's hard for us to receive blessings. And what did we talk about at the beginning? We said, God is good. He's in a good mood, right? So a God that's in a good mood, he wants to give us blessings. But when our hearts become hard, it's hard to receive, okay? He wants us to have a soft heart. Because what happens is when we have a soft heart, we can receive the blessing, right? Just like in her slime's able to receive the blessing now. And what does that do? It makes it more fun to play with, right? For her, it makes it more fun to play with, right? So when the Lord gives us blessings and we have a soft heart, then we're like Ezra and we can share our blessing with other people. Just like Joseph, he was able to share the blessing with everyone else because his heart remained soft. Okay. So if that's something that we can learn from Joseph in his life, is that God wants us to have soft hearts. How do we get there? We stay close to God. He's always close to us, but we need to stay close to him. Okay. And one of the vehicles that he gives us to stay close to him and to keep our hearts soft is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Joseph had to forgive his brothers for what they did to him. Joseph might have even had to forgive God for letting him go through all that stuff. But because of forgiveness, he's able to keep his heart soft. Okay. So I was kind of debating today if we're going to have some type of ministry time or some type of like application. And I was like kind of going back and forth. But really one of the things that I felt like to take away from learning about Joseph's life is that sometimes the Lord will give us words or pictures and it's for our benefit. So during this time, I'm going to call up the worship team in a minute to close our worship time together. But during that time, just sit with the Lord, see if he has anything for you. And if the Lord highlights someone that your heart has become hard to, that he wants to soften, or someone that you might need to forgive, if that person's in this room, take the time to approach them. Because God wants us to have soft hearts. And part of that is so that we can receive blessings from him. And then we can give blessings to other people. Okay? So if you feel like you have a hard heart towards someone, then maybe you're missing out on the blessing that the Lord has for you. The brothers might have missed out on the blessing that Joseph had for them, right? Because their hearts were hard. After they came to him and they found out who he was, what did he say? He said, do not be distressed. Well, why would he say, do not be distressed? Because they probably were like, this is Joseph. He's going to be mad at us. He's not going to give us any food, right? Why would they think like that? Because their hearts were hard. Their hearts were hard. So what he was doing didn't make sense. They could have missed out on the blessing that he had for them if he would have had a hard heart, if their hearts remained hard. Okay? So the Lord might have a blessing for you that he wants you to receive, that he wants you to give to someone else that might be hard to give or to receive because our heart has become hard. So during this time, if the Lord highlights someone, just take advantage of that opportunity to reconnect, to soften your heart, and to receive and give a blessing to someone. All right, so let's close our time in prayer. Worship team, you can come on up. God, we just thank you that you have created us in a way that we are able to receive and give what love really is. The picture that you gave us of love is of your son, Jesus, who even though the world mocked him, they even sentenced him to death, he prayed for them. He was willing to give up his life for us. And that's because he was close to you and his heart remained soft towards people. He was able to forgive and show us what real love actually is. So God, during this time, we pray that you will help to soften our hearts. Help us to be more of who you created us to be. Men and women, boys and girls, with soft hearts towards each other that are able to experience real love and show the world what true love actually is. A sacrificial love that cares for even those that don't like us. So God, thank you for modeling that through Jesus. Thank you for modeling that through the story of Joseph and his life and how to stay in line with who you created us to be by having soft hearts, even to the people that hurt us, to the people that sent Joseph into slavery. He was still able to love and care for them. So God, thank you for modeling that for us, and thank you that that's a picture of who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.